الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. With regard to the sunnahs that we were reading and the sunnah of visiting the ill person, the sick person, and the great rewards and the psychological benefit it has for the sick person, and it is a cause of his good health, a major cause, and which has been widely acknowledged in the Western world also, to visit the sick helps tremendously to regain their health. عیادت کے فوائد کا تذکرہ کرتے ہوئے ثوبان روایت فرماتے ہیں کہ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے مجدہ سنایا. With regard to the benefits of visiting the ill, sick person, حضرت ثوبان رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ says that نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم had given these words of gold. جب کوئی مسلمان اپنے کسی مسلمان کی عادت کو جاتا ہے, when a Muslim goes and visit a sick Muslim brother, تو وہ لوٹے وقت جنت کے باغات سے میوہ خوری میں رہتا ہے. Then when he is returning, he is actually going through the gardens of Jannat and eating of the fruit of the gardens of Jannat. So great rewards they are when he returns from visiting the ill person, then it is as though he is going through the gardens of Jannat and eating of the fruits of the garden of Jannat. There is a narration of Muslim Sharif. حضرت ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ عیادت مریض کا اہم فرض کی وضاحت میں جناب طبیب اعظم صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم سے روایت کرتے ہیں. With regard to the great importance and explaining the great virtues of visiting the ill person, حضرت ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ narrates from the greatest doctor صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Allah Ta'ala قیامت کے دن فرمائے گا, on قیامت day Allah Ta'ala will say کہ اے ابن آدم میں بیمار ہوا تو میری عیادت کو نہ آیا. That O son of Adam, I got ill, you did not come and visit me when I was ill. وہ کہے گا کہ اے اللہ تو رب العالمین ہے. He'll say, Ya Allah, you are رب العالمین, you don't get ill, you give shifa to everyone. Allah Ta'ala فرمائے گا, Allah Ta'ala will say کہ تجھے علم نہ تھا, did you not know, did you not acquire this knowledge, کہ میرا فلا بندہ بیمار ہوا ہے, that a certain بندہ, a certain servant of mine became ill, تو نے اس کی عیادت نہ کی, you did not go and visit him, کیا تجھے علم نہ تھا کہ اگر تو اس کی عیادت کرتا تو مجھ کو اس کے نزدیک پاتا. Did you not gain this knowledge that had you gone to visit him, you would have found me there, I was also there. In other words, Allah is very close with the sick person. By visiting the ill person, the sick person, you will find Allah. And Allah has interpreted this that I was sick. Allah was not sick, that sick person. Allah is there. And Allah himself will give the interpretation that I was sick and you did not come and visit me. This shows how important it is to go and visit the sick person. Also, from here we learn the same thing which some people have difficulty in understanding, that when you visit Ahlullah, then you will find Allah by them also. They are called Ahlullah, the people of Allah. Allah is there by them. So if you visit them, you will find Allah Ta'ala there also. When you visit the sick, you will find Allah Ta'ala there as well. بیمار کی عادت کو اتنا اہم قرار دیا گیا. This is how what great importance has been given to of visiting the sick, کہ روز حشر نامہ اعمال میں اس کے بارے میں سوال ہوں گے. That on the day of Qiyamah, with regard to this, we will be questioned. That somebody was ill and you did not go and visit the ill person. اللہ تعالی عیادت کرنے والوں کی حوصلہ فرمائی کرتے ہوئے وہیں پر اپنی موجودگی کا اظہار کرتا ہے. And showing the great importance of visiting the sick person, Allah has described it that I am present there, that you should have come, you should have found me there. And Allah says that I was ill, Of course, Allah Rabbul Izzat is not, doesn't get ill at all. But Allah interpreted it in this way to show how important it is. May Allah give us tawfiq to realize the great importance. And this is where the whole complete of deen, that even all these aspects, our akhlaq must be such that we consider all these people. And in visiting the sick, not only the rich sick, we should visit all who are sick, the poor also. Very, very important. If we don't visit generally, if we do visit the sick, it's family people. And besides the family, rich people. But poor people, hardly anyone goes and visit them. That is also very, very important. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Hazrat Zaid ibn Arqam, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, ko aashob chasham ki shikayat hui. To Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ne unki iadat ke liye gaye. Hazrat Zaid ibn Arqam, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, had eye illness. Some illness in his eye. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and visited him. Hazrat Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu riwayat karte hai ke Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam ne farmaya. Hazrat Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, jab koi shakhs mareez ki aadat ke liye jata hai to wahan par darya rehmat mein us waqt tak baitha rehta hai jab tak ke wo wahan raha. When a person goes and visit an ill person, then he is by the sea of mercy. The sea of mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And he remains in that sea of mercy as long as he stays there. Of course, in other hadith we are taught, we should not lengthen our stay by sick person. Because he's ill. Perhaps he has to take medication. Perhaps he wants to change his side. Perhaps he wants to lay down very casually. Now while you are there, he has to sit up, etc. So don't sit long. It should be very short. And also, don't put the family people, make them inconvenience. Don't put them into any inconvenience. So the stay should be quite short. But as long as you stay there, a person will be in the mercy of, in the sea of mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Balki wo us dauran darya mein dubkiya lagata hai. In fact, while he's there, he is diving into the sea of rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. Also, we should understand that where there is fazilat, also virtues. But it does not mean that we take these virtues just blindly and cause inconvenience. Wherever there are virtues also, but it is haram to inconvenience any person. The virtues are on their place, but don't inconvenience any person. Like one time, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullah Ali was invited by some person, a valija, and he had prepared very, very fine badam, which he had made, almonds, very fine, and boiled it in milk, which made a very, very delicious drink. So he presented it to Hazrat and he said, this is special for you. So Hazrat heard of it. Then one other villager who was there, he started eating it one way. He just started eating it. So Hazrat said, this person said, it's special for me and you eating it so much. He said, there is barakat in there. You ate from there. So Hazrat said, I ate from the dar also. From the dal, isn't there barakat in there? You only saw barakat in this. You didn't see barakat in there also. So that is, we tend to do that. That we will take only what is our benefit, but take it also intelligently. Don't cause any inconvenience to any person. Mareez ki aadat ek lihaz se usko itminan dilane aur hausle dene wali baat hai. To visit the ill, in one aspect it is to console him. That don't worry, everything will be right. And to give him hausla, to lift up his spirits. That you'll be better soon. You'll be soon walking around. You'll be doing... That has a great psychological effect on the person. So that is very important when visiting the sick. The adab also are important. Don't go there and say, the way it looks, I think, I don't know if you'll make it till tonight also. Or something like that. No, you must encourage the person, lift his spirits. Even the house people, tell them also that you are making this khidmat, what great rewards you are getting. And what great Allah's farishtas of rahmat are descending because of the ill person. Bimari uski gunah ko kam karti hai. And this illness is washing away his sins. Aur uski dua ko dusro ki nisbat ziyada qabooliyat hasil hoti hai. And compared to other people, while a person is ill, his duas are more accepted by Allah Ta'ala. So that is also another very great benefit. Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu riwayat karte hain, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam ne farmaya ke jab tu mareez ki iadat ke liye jaye to usse apne liye dua karwa. When you go and visit an ill person, then even ask him to make dua for you. Kyunki uski dua farishton ki dua hai. Because his dua is the dua of the farishtas. In other words, how the angels, the farishtas duas are 100% maqbool, mustajab. Like that, the sick person's dua is also mustajab, is also 100% maqbool by Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, iyadat ka ajeeb waqiyah bayan karte hai. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu explains one very fascinating, strange instance of visiting the sick. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ek Arabi ki iyadat ko gaye. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and visit one Bedouin, a villager. Aapka dastur tha ki jab kisi mariz ki iyadat ke liye jate, it was Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's habit that when he would visit a sick person, he would say, to hamisha farmate la ba'asa tahurun insha'Allah. Koi haraj nahi. Tum inshallah paak ho jaoge. No problem, inshallah you will get better. You will be purified from your sickness also. Your sins are also being forgiven. So it's a small matter. You are going through your difficulty, but don't worry. You will be purified. Usne kaha ke hargiz nahi. He was a Bedouin. He did not know etiquette. So he says, no, never. I won't get better. He said that. Balke tip josh mar raha hai. My fever is very, very high. Aur ek burhe par ye tip usko qabro se mila dega. And this high temperature, for an old person, it will take him to his qabr. Aapne farmaya, haan, isi tarah hoga. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, it will be like that. Ye shakhs wafat pa gaya. He died after that. Usne khuda ki rahmat se mayusi ka izhar kiya. He expressed he lost hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Aur bil wasta maut ki tamanna karte hue, rahmat-e-alam ko majboor kiya ki wo bhi uske khwahish se ittefaq kare. And in this way, he, so to say, forced Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying this, that you also agree to me that I won't get better. In other words, achha anjaam nahi hua. He did not have a good ending. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today many of us would like to have been present with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But where would we be able to live in that time? Like one time, one sahabi was sleeping in the masjid. It was namaz time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told another sahabi, wake him up. He woke him up. Then he said, O Allah's Rasul, always in good deeds you are in front. You always make sure you are ahead in doing good deeds. How come you didn't wake him up? You to ask me to wake him up. The sawab, you gave it to me. You always go ahead in doing good deeds like this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if I should have woken him up, he might have been in a deep sleep. And he should have perhaps refused. No, I don't want to get up. I want to sleep. And refusing the command and the wish of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is kufr. The sahabas wish you to refuse, that is not kufr. So the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are very, very heavy and weighty. One sahabi was eating with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was eating with his left hand. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, eat with your right hand. He says, I can't. My right hand doesn't get lifted up. Then after that, whole life his right hand, he couldn't lift it up. So we will not be able to stay in that time with our way, etc. So this also, that the person visiting must not make the person feel lose hope. And you yourself also don't lose hope. And don't say things also like that. Have courage. And you also have that, inshallah, I will get better. Somebody tell you you will get better, say, inshallah, Allah will make me better. Don't say, no, I'll never get better. Don't, for yourself also, don't say that. And
we should always try and visit, as I said, the poor also. That is also very, very important. The poor people who are sick, we should try and visit them. And this is a very important aspect, and especially if a person is an imam, and in his locality he comes to know somebody is ill, it is very important for him to go and visit. In this aspect also, we are very, very weak. If we go and visit people, at those times, at the time of a funeral, when somebody is ill, those people have gained great respect for us, and they become a great support for us. That this person came and visit us, it has great, great effect. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. One person, a poor person who was a poor person, and also a deaf person. His neighbor, who was very wealthy, became ill. So he went and visit him. So all the other big people were there. So, and he couldn't hear, and he didn't know. So he thought, he prepared himself before going there, that I'll go there, I'll ask him, how are you? Well, he will say, in all probability, I'm well. So I'll say, Alhamdulillah. Then I'll ask him, who is your doctor? He'll take the best doctor's name, the most wealthiest one, the most good doctor. So I'll say, MashaAllah, just keep him. You can't get a better doctor than him. What medicine did he prescribe? He will have prescribed the best medicine, most expensive, that keep on taking that medicine. Then he couldn't hear, so he prepared himself. So when he went there, he asked him, how are you? So he said, I'm dying. So he said, MashaAllah. Allah, keep it that way. And then he asked him, who is your doctor? He said, Shaitan. He said, you can't get a better doctor than Shaitan. What a doctor you have got. What medicine did he prescribe? Poison. He said, keep on taking it. You can't get a better medicine than that. So adab also are very, very important. When you go and visit the sick, then with the proper adab, a person should go. In this kitab of the relationship between a murid and the sheikh and how to benefit. This is the last one in the series, and it is perhaps the most important one also. Tamam in amat zahira wa batina ke hote hote bhi apne nafs ko mitana asal inam hai. When a person is blessed with all Allah's favors outwardly and inwardly also, at that time, to regard yourself as the thing, this is the real thing that a person has to reach. When a person hasn't got anything, and he says, I'm nothing, he is not a alim, he's not a hafiz, he's not a abid also, nothing really, he says I'm nothing, that is easy to say. But being a great alim, being a great hafiz, etc., being very pious, at that time to regard yourself as nothing, this is achievement. Outwardly also, a poor person, a person who is like a nobody in the town, for him to regard himself as a nobody, that is quite easy. But you are the most senior person in the town. You are the chaudhri of the town, the big shot of the town. At that time, to regard yourself as nothing, this is an achievement. And also it comes in the hadith, the subject matter of a hadith, that when a person is nothing, and he has got pride in him, this is the worst guna. A person who is wealthy, who has got lot of knowledge, he has got pride, is also totally haram. But from one aspect, he has got cause to have pride. He's got knowledge, he's got money, he's got position, whatever. There is some cause for him to have pride. But a person who's got nothing and he's got pride, this is exactly like shaitan. He had, it was haram, but he had this pride in him. Ana khayrun minhu, I'm better than Adam. But he had a cause for it. He said, I'm created from fire. Fire grows up, use this logic. Yeah, in front of Allah, you don't use logic. You, what Allah's command, you accept it wholeheartedly. But for Ibn Adam, for the children of Adam, who are created from sand and sand goes down, for them to have pride is the worst thing. That they have got no cause for pride. Or besides that also, huwa a'lamu bikum. Allah is more better informed about you than what you yourself also are informed. Allah is more better informed. Idh ansha'akum min al-ard. When He created you from sand. So you are created from sand, you are down, you are nothing. How where can you have pride? Huwa ansha'akum, huwa a'lamu bikum idh ansha'akum min al-ard. وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. And He knows you very well what you were, your history, He knows very well. You were a jinnah. You were just a clot. You were just a little thing in the womb of your mother. And what was your feed at that time? The monthly menses of your mother. That napak, filthy blood of your mother, that was your feed. Now you are boasting, you are arrogant, ana. Wala ghairi, I'm somebody, I'm so great. Where this came in you? Don't you forgot your history? A person must never forget his history. Always. There are so many people. Qari Usman Sahib, Puthawala Rahmatullahi, was the imam in Rudipuatia in Azadwal also. On one occasion I asked him about his beginning stages. He said to me that he lived, those who have gone to India and seen this, there are a lot of people who just live on the pavement. Not even really sack, just some pieces of cloth or sack they fasten and make a little house for themselves. Nothing, not even zinc over. They live in that way. He say, my family was like this, we lived like this. Maulana Ahmadullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Sher-e Gujarat, he somehow made out their qualities in this little, small boy, perhaps hardly wearing clothes, running around playing. He brought him, took him to the madrasa. He became Hafiz, he became Qari. What respect and honor Allah gave me. He said, through Quran Sharif, Allah gave me Izzat. But don't forget our past. Ayaz, the slave of Mahmud Ghaznavi. The people, he also had qualities. He didn't have any outward things with him. He wasn't wealthy. He wasn't anything else, but qualities he had in him. So the king made him his favorite. The other courtiers became jealous of him. They whispered things in the king's ears, and this happens always everywhere. Anyone becomes a favorite, others become jealous. So the king said, I will show you people who Ayaz is. And there are many instances to show his great qualities. On this, with regard to this, they told the king, you trust him so much and you have so much regard for him, but he's stealing from the state treasury. He said, impossible, Ayaz, I know him, he'll never do a thing like that. He said, then we will arrange and hide away. At night, 2 or 3 o'clock, you'll see he comes and opens the state treasury. And who opens the treasury at 2 or 3 at night? Person who wants to steal, you'll see with your own eyes. So he said, okay, they hid away, they saw Abad. Ayaz came 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, opened the treasury, he went inside. He said, you see? So he said, let us see what he's doing. Is he really stealing? When they went there, they found that in one vault he had kept his old clothes before he was in the king's service. All torn and tattered clothes. Now the king had given beautiful robes to wear. So he took off his robes and he put on the torn and tattered clothes of his. And he looked in a mirror and he said, Ayaz, never forget your history. If a person does this, pride will never come into him. Every human being, we were created from sand. We drank the dirty, filthy blood of the menses of our mother for 5 months while we were in the womb. What have we got to boast about? When we came out in this world, we were totally weak. We couldn't do a thing for ourselves. We couldn't feed ourselves. We couldn't do a thing for ourselves. What today we are boasting so much? Remember your history. A person who does that, pride won't come in that person. And pride is the worst disease. It is the cause of ghibat, backbiting. It is the cause of anger. It is the cause of so many other diseases, this pride. And this pride that we have to remove, that one time, one great buzurg, he was going for Juma namaz. And on the way, there was a narrow bridge where only one person can cross at a time. When he came there, he was this side, he wanted to cross. At that side, a dog was coming across. So he made a sign to the dog, you go at the bottom. At the bottom of the bridge, there was raw sewage, urine, filth, muck, dirt that was flowing. So the buzurg told the dog, you go at the bottom. The dog, Allah gave him a tongue to speak. Allah has got Qudrat over everything. Dog told him that you go at the bottom and let me pass from on top. He said, I'm going for Jummah namaz. I've finished taking my bath. I've worn my clean clothes, etc. So let me go from the top. I'm going for Jummah namaz. So he said, if you go from the top, this will be in your heart that you are better than me. And a dog is an animal. And in the animals, it's of the lowest ranking animals, a dog. But if you think you are better than me, then if you go from the bottom, your clothes will get dirty, your feet will get dirty. With one jug of water, one lota, you can wash your legs and your clothes. They will become clean. But if you go from the top and this little pride that you are better than me, better than a dog, then this water of the seven oceans, they also won't be able to cleanse that pride of yours. So how much we have to cleanse our, today with people, a husband thinks I'm better than the wife, what and what we tell her, wife thinks I'm better than the husband, how we speak to one another, any other person, just because we got some money, just because the color of our skin, just because we know two masalas, we got little knowledge, just because our Quran tilawat is nice, or anything like that, we look down upon people. And if you look a little bit down, that person is gone. Then, and that dog told him also, why I informed you? We don't get informed. We what and what wrong we do, nobody tells us. Dogs won't speak to us. He said, because last week, a little puppy was shivering in the cold, it was dirty. You told somebody, take it, clean it, keep it warm, make it warm, feed it. Because you did ihsan, a favor on my family, I'm doing this ihsan on you. And I'm informing you of this. And he told that if you have one iota of pride, forget Jannat, you won't get the fragrance of Jannat. And the fragrance of Jannat goes to a journey of 500 miles out of Jannat. And so you won't even come so near Jannat. If you have got this one little bit of pride, even if you think you're better than a dog also. So how important it is. This is how important tasawwuf is. This is how important tazkiyah nafs and islah is. And it is when we make our islah. If we're just coming just to pass our time or just to fill the register, I was present or something, then we won't get that benefit. But if we have that worry that I have to cleanse myself, and also don't worry that if you lower yourself, every person, it's human nature, that I'll be a nothing, etc. But man tawadha'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. A person who humbles himself for Allah's sake, not for trying to become high. For Allah's sake, you humble yourself, Allah will make you high. And when Allah makes you high, how high won't Allah make you? In dunya also, in akhirat also. When Allah makes you high, Allah will protect you also. And anyone who tries and become high himself, وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ. A person that I did this, I'm like this, boasting always, blowing his trumpet, etc. مَنْ تَكَبَّرَ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ. Allah will lower that person. So this is a very, very important, and as I said, this is the summary and the end, to annihilate ourselves. And so much, not from a human being, but even not animals, but the lowest in the animals. That I'm the lowest of the low. Till this does not come in a person, he can't move forward. Agar ye hasil na ho, to sab la hasil hai. If a person hasn't acquired this humility, this tawadu, then he has acquired nothing. Even he can be the best qari and the best hafiz and the best alim, everything. Whatever it can be, you could have built thousands of masjids also. But if you haven't got humbleness, you have acquired nothing whatsoever. Kyunki tawatur awliya ummat se afnai nafs ki zarurat aur ahmiyat thabit hai. Because the tawatur, the continuous and tawatur is that which has come in so many have said it in every time that you can't say they are lying. So many people have narrated the awliya's tawatur. There are so many awliya of every time have said that this is the most important thing that a person must get, tawadu, humility. Aur ye amar bain sufiya mashhoor alal adsina hai. And this matter on the tongues of the Sufis, it is very famous. Jiska sahih maqam Hakim ul-Ummah Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi ne is tarah irshad farmaya hai. And the proper position of this tawadu of humility, a person like Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he has explained it. What he has said, and we should listen carefully to this, and not only to hear, to know, but really to try and bring it within us, that this reality comes into us. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi said, main apne ko tamam musalmanon se fil hal aur tamam kafiron se hatta ke bahaim se bhi kam tar samajhta hu fil maal. Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi himself used to say this, and this is part of our wazifas and our ma'amulat. We should also think, many times we have mentioned it, how many of us, we say it to ourselves. At least once a day, a person should say this to himself. At the beginning, even if it's only reality, but just the words also, you keep on saying them, they will have effect. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri, rahmatullah alayhi, used to say, the words of the Quran have also got great effect. Like the word Shaitan. If you say it not as a Quranic word, it's Shaitan. Qarun, Haman, what value has it got? But when you read it in the Quran Sharif, every letter minimum has got 10 sawabs. Not the word, every letter minimum has got 10 sawabs. Without wuzu. You read Shaitan as an ayat of the Quran, what wuzu? Shaitan. Inna Shaitana lakum aduwwum mubeen. إِنَّ قَارُونَ وَإِنَّ فِرَانَ وَهَامَانَ وَقَارُونَ. You read it, what wuzu? You read it in namaz, how lot sawab you get. So the words of deen have also got great, great value. So these words which are as a wazifa, they can be only words, but they will also have effect. But say to ourselves that every day, take your name, that presently in all the Muslims, Abdul Hamid, I am the worst and the lowest. And as far as maut is concerned, ma'al, the end, Abdul Hamid, I am more lower and worse than the animals and the kafirs also. Our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, how many times he explained to us, please make dua also for Hadrat. Hadrat's health is gone quite down. Please make dua, Allah give full shifa, inshallah. Hadrat explained that presently, you might be a good Muslim outwardly, you are making your namaz, you are an alim also, you are a Sufi also, everything. But there may be one quality in you which you also don't know, which Allah dislikes. And it is by temperament and nature. Somebody, you just don't like somebody. Like that you say, but he's a very good person. But you don't know why you just don't like him. Allah Ta'ala, Allah has got his mizaj and temperament also. We don't know if Allah dislikes something in us, in spite of all, everything of ours, what's our value. And there are times, there are so many people, we all must be experienced also like that, he's not like a real namazi, but when he comes, you like to talk with him, you joke with him, you just seem to take on to him, you just seem to like him. So there may be a person who has got no namaz, nothing, but there may be one quality in him which Allah loves so greatly. And because of that one quality, he's a favorite of Allah. And Allah doesn't see all the other qualities. Allah likes that one quality. Allah is Allah's favorite. Which famous story Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written, that a person in a village who was like the worst, like we will just write him off. He's nothing. He's got no value. He passed away. And when he passed away, he was a gambler, womanizer, drunkard, all what you could think. Coming home 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. So when he passed away, nobody came for his funeral. Not families, not neighbor, not town people, nobody. So after 3 days now, nobody came. His body is going to blow up. So his wife got paid for laborers, take his body. How you people know, you give ghusl, you take him to, you give kafan, take him to the qabristan. If there is anyone to make janazah namaz, well and good. If there isn't, then just let him, bury him without even janazah namaz. They took him, and when his janazah was ready, Allah put in the wali of that time, the great Buzurg in his heart, Allah made ilham that my wali's janazah is in the Qabristan, go and perform the janazah namaz. When he went there, he saw he's this person. All knew him what he was. But anyway, they made the janazah. From there, they went straight to his wife. That what kind of a man was your husband? We knew him to be like this. She said he was like that. But he had two great qualities in him. One, he would come home late at night, 2 or 3 o'clock, whatever. Early part of the morning tahajjud, he would get up, bath in cold water, become sober, cry to Allah. Ya Allah, which corner of Jahannam have you kept for me? Ya Allah, I'm so bad. He should be making that is tawbah all the time. And at-taibu min adham kamallah dhambalah. Whatever impression we can get, but Allah, what Allah had met is different. The other, he always kept an orphan child in the house. And he would not eat till the orphan child did not eat. He will not buy clothes for himself till he did not buy for the orphan child. Allah loved that action of his so much that Allah gave him that position. So, and on the other hand, as far as our mort is concerned, nobody has given. If there is somebody who is fortunate that he's got a guarantee he's going to die on Iman. Otherwise, nobody has given us any guarantee we're going to die on Iman. And there are so many instances of people who lost their Iman before mort. So a person must have that worry all the time. Animals, they're not going to go to Jahannam. Whatever they did, zulam one on another, they will be given their retribution, turn into dust and finish. And kafir, we don't know. And we got no 100% knowledge that that kafir, we knew him as a kafir, and he died on kufr. Perhaps he read kalima before he died. And there are many cases. Shaykhul Hind rahmatullah ali saw one Hindu of Deoband that is walking around freely with enjoyment in Jannah. He told him, Lalaji, Hindu, where you in Jannah? No entry for you. Where you came here? So he said, Mullaji, that just before I died, ankahat kehdi, what was taboo for me to say? What was haram for me to say? La ilaha illallah. I read it before I died. How many people? We don't know. They read kalima, so we don't know. So we got no right to think of ourselves as better than anyone whatsoever. And today we see clearly when we talk, for example, you can make out that this person thinks he's better than others. We take out the faults of other people. It's very important we analyze ourselves, because this little bit of pride over a dog that you think you're better than a dog also, this will destroy a person completely. Or agar haq ta'ala ahle jannat ki jutiyon mein jagah ata farmawe, to usko ghanimat samjunga. Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah ali says, if Allah gives me a place where the people of jannat, where they take out their shoes, in other words, a very low place, I will also think, Ya Allah, you have done a favor to me. A person like Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah ali, who so many great ulama, his khulafa, over 1,000 kitabs he has written, his faiz and his virtue so much in the whole world, but this is what he thinks of himself, that I'm not even fit to get place where the people of Jannat will take out their shoes. I'm not even fit for that place. Usse ziyada ka mujhe hosla nahi. And I haven't got, my courage is not to ask for anything more, that even just this so much, oh Allah, you give me. Just place in the play, or where the shoes, where the people of Jannat will take out their shoes. Or ye jaga par bina istihqaq nahi. And this also, that I get place where the people of Jannah take out the shoes, not that I'm worthy of it. Not for that reason I'm asking. Balke asrahi tarahum hai. But that, oh Allah, you show mercy. That otherwise it's fire of Jahannam. And oh Allah, I can't tolerate the fire of Jahannam. So save me from there. Just even give me place where the people of Jannah will take out the shoes. That also is good enough for me. Just as your mercy. Not that I'm even worthy of it. When a person like Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah ali says this, then where we stand? But today, the fights that we have, in our talks we make out so easily that the person is thinking he's better than the next person. This is a killer. And this is really what a person has to remove from him. Annihilate himself. Humbleness. If there's humbleness between husband and wife, no fights in the family also. But the husband waiting, the wife must become humble. And she's waiting, you must become humble. and you don't retaliate. A nice way, whatever has to be put right, there is a system and a way. Adab of doing the right, you do the right in the right way. Don't do the right in the wrong way either. Do it in the right way. And you're not responsible for your wife's actions. You wish good for her, you try everything, but she's responsible for her actions. And she's not responsible for your actions. You are responsible for your actions. So you bring tawazu in you. If she doesn't mean you also not going to. If she's shouting and swearing, doesn't mean you also going to shout and swear. She's throwing things around, doesn't mean you also must throw things around. No. If she doesn't, you do your thing. And if you don't, then doesn't mean she also must just treat you like that till you come right. No, she must have humbleness. Anywhere where there's humility, then there won't be fights. But as long as we have got pride in us, it will cause endless fights and problems all the time. Sheikh Abdullah Andalusi, rahmatullah alayh, his story is so famous, that he was, and great were his murids, great people. But when he was going with his qafla, about 10,000 people, they passed through a town where they had to make asr namaz. The people didn't give them water for wuzu. So there were fire worshippers, there were Christians, their churches, there were Jews, all were there. And this came in his heart that these people, they worshipping fire. We want to make Allah's ibadat, namaz, and they don't even give us water. That they worship Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, the cross they worship. How wrong they are. Just that little bit, Allah disliked this. And this Allah showed it in the form of another guna. When we get involved in any type of guna, whether it is guna with other women, whether it is guna of becoming lazy in namaz, etc., with regard to that also, many of our friends usually ask this question, that laziness is setting in. I can't make tilawat, I can't make zikr. One of the many causes also is, like Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, what Allah had given him. One time somebody asked his wife, that Hazrat must be making mutala whole night of kitabs, the bayans that he make. What and what hawalas he gives, everything. So what kitabs he studies so much, and we also can study, we also can make bayans like that. He said, I only saw two kitabs by him. Tilawat of Quran Sharif and Munajat Maqbool. That's all what he reads. But how Allah blessed him. So one day he was starting to write and no subject coming. Because subject should come from Allah Ta'ala. He could blank. Nothing is working. He just couldn't understand. Put his pen down. Ya Allah, what is happening? Always just all, it just flows. My pen just goes. What happened today? So then he realized, his wife told him she's going out to visit some people in the town today, and the fowls in the fowl run. In the hawk, you must give them food, water, and then open them, let them move out freely. He forgot to do that. One makhluk of Allah Ta'ala, he caused that problem there. Allah stopped everything to come to him. So we, with our wives, how we treat them. So then laziness in namaz will come. All these other problems come into our lives. All other things. Now we missing fajr namaz. We missing jamaat namaz now. But these things don't just happen like that. There is a cause behind it. Whatever wrong we do somewhere, it shows out in the form of some guna. You're getting involved with a woman. It's not just like that. There's some other guna, because now Allah got you involved in this guna now. So Sheikh Abdullah Andalusi, he thought like this, that these people are low. They went in front where there was a well. People were taking out water. They started making their wuzu. There was a Christian girl. He saw her. And it's all in Allah's hands. Muqallib al-qulub, musarrif al-qulub, the changer of our hearts, it's not in our control. I'll never do this, I'll never do that, never have that attitude. Allah, we don't know. So Allah put the love of that girl into his heart. And now he didn't want to do haram, he wanted to marry her, legal way. She said, no problem, ask my father. Father told, no problem, but you must become a Christian. He was prepared to do that. And that you don't just become outward in word a Christian, but you must look after the swine, the pigs. You must look after them. He agreed to that also. 1 year he passed in this condition. His murids were genuine. They were crying for him, making dua. Allah changed his heart again. They came back, Allah Ta'ala. So we haven't got any control of ourselves. Everything is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. So we have to be very, very careful, very considerate of what. Don't just speak anything, don't just pass remarks about people, don't look down upon people. This affects us in other adverse ways. اور فرمایا کہ مجھے ناز و کبر بحمد اللہ نہیں ہوتا ہے. مولانا تھانوی رحمت اللہ علیہ says, by Allah's fazal, I never have any pride in me. And niyaz, a naz, that I can just speak anyhow to Allah, or I think that my ibadat, and I can force Allah, you must give me this, etc. I don't have that. کیونکہ ہر وقت اس کا دھیان ہے کہ always this is in my mind, I think, قیامت کے دن, نہ جانے اشرف علی کا کیا حال ہوگا. That I don't know, قیامت day, what will be the condition of اشرف علی. Nobody knows. ہم ایسے رہے یا کہ ویسے رہے. وہاں دیکھنا ہے کہ کیسے رہے. The whole world can praise us. Or you can fool yourself for tying a big amama, a big jubba. You look in the mirror. Other people also, Hazrat, Hazrat, Hazrat. And you can also get the idea, I am Hazrat. But think in yourself. Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, if the whole world call you Hazrat, or the whole world criticize you, and it has an effect on you, you know Hazrat. If all the world's praises don't change you know what you are. Everyone, you know what your condition is. And if the whole world criticize you, it doesn't make you despondent, doesn't make you despair, then you are Hazrat. But if just little bit somebody praises you in front of you, oh, like that person who took his horse to the auctioneer for selling. In our time, you take your car to the auctioneer. What's the auctioneer's? Why you want to sell your car? It's troubling you now. It's giving you problems. And what's the auctioneer's work? To praise it, then it will sell. So the way he praised the horse, that it's like this and it's like that, that person, it went to his head just that. And he said, give my horse back. I don't want to. Why? You're saying it's such a good horse. He says, your experience of 20 years, this horse is troubling you, and my 2 minutes of praises, you forgot your 20 years experience. Our nafs, how bad is it? But just somebody must call you Hazrat, or you like a buzurk or something, and it goes to our head. That is a person who is too superficial. He's not at all in deep waters. He's very superficial. Or just some thought that I'm like this and I'm maqbool by Allah Ta'ala. A person who has this, that person is on very dangerous ground. A person who fears all the time, that person progresses all the time. So this is a very important thing that we have to bring within ourselves. Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummah Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali, ke in irshadat mein salikin ke liye nihayat aham ta'alimat maujood hai. Hazrat writes that in Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali's, in these words of his, for those who are genuinely seeking the path to reach Allah Ta'ala, who are not just using it as a front. Today Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, for to become Hafiz and to Umrah, these are things of fashion today. That today everyone, so all boys, no extra time or anything. What they're schooling, become Hafiz also. You don't have to change your dressing. You don't have to keep a beard, shave your beard also. You don't have to make namaz also. You got the title of Hafiz. Umrah also, you go, you don't have to change your life. Just go there, stay in a posh hotel, watch TV, watch soccer, cricket also in Makkah and Medina. And you come back, you made Umrah. It's all just fashion. And another two few things are also of just a show, a front that we are using. Lot of people, whether we come here in the Khanqa, that I'm a Khanqa man. But inside we're doing all our things, our business things are not right, family, our matters are not right. So we're just using it as a front that he goes Khanqa. If his son has to get married, daughter, these people are Khanqa people. So they are good people. How many of us, not all, we use tabligh as a front. We're doing all wrong things inside. But go 4 months. My son went he goes 10 days. He goes 40 days in Jamaat. Every holiday he goes in Jamaat. So it's a front. But inside, it's all opposite. How many of us, Western secular education, etc., the Jamaat don't teach that you must go so lot into all secular education, into all worldly things, other things. But he's a Jamaati. So it's justified. So we shouldn't bluff ourselves. We get very easily bluffed with all these things. We should realize who we are. Analyze our... And it's not much an analysis. It's so clear how low we are. But yet we think ourselves, somebody must just say one thing against us, we get upset, we get angry with it. And so much so, that even the sheikh, if he tells a murid, murid also gets upset. That shows the gross pride that we have got. If somebody else says, then to perhaps you could still say, okay, he's like me. But your sheikh tells you, your father tells you, your ustad tells you, and today people get upset with that also. Your parents have got the full right to even hit you, but today you'll hit your father. If he wants to lift his hand on you, which he has got a right to do, you'll go and report him to the police. You'll go and you'll pick up your hand against him. This is all that pride. So this is the most essential thing that we have to take out from us. Allah Ta'ala Jalla Shanu Amal Ki Tawfiq Bakhshe. Ameen. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal and really to work towards humbling ourselves. Shaykh Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullah Alayh, for whom when he made salam at Rozai Mubarak, not only he, everyone around there heard the salam, the reply of his salam from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then he said, oh Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, present your hand, I want to shake your hand. Between 7,000 and 9,000 people saw with their eyes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hand came out. But then, it did not go to his head. In order to annihilate his nafs, he lied at the door of the masjid, so that all the people who come in must walk over him, so that pride must not come into him. Today, somebody just said, we have to see a dream of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, I'm a big buzurg. I saw Nabi, or somebody else saw our dream with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something like that. Oh, there's nobody like me. But what he did immediately to control his nafs, he lied at the door of the masjid that when the people come, let them walk over me. So this is how buzurgs are careful of watching their nafs. And today, we pamper the nafs. We are massaging the nafs all the time, making ourselves happy all the time. This is extremely dangerous for a person. A person must not pamper his nafs and massage his nafs and make himself happy. Words that we say, we'll go and tell the wife today, you know what, so and so said this about me. So and so. And indirectly subtle way, but we want praises all the time. In various ways we want praises all the time. This is all massaging the nafs, and we are commanded to annihilate the nafs, not to massage the nafs, not to feed it and make it more fat and more bigger. We are commanded to totally annihilate the nafs. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq inshallah. We are doing this hadith by which a person can get halawate iman. Not only iman, but the sweetness of iman. One other way, Hazrat Damat Barakatum explains here, husool-e halawate iman ke liye, hadith ka tisra juz. The third part of this hadith, which is under discussion, Hazrat is discussing it so much in detail. And the third part now of the hadith, Hazrat Damat Barakatum is explaining it. Also, if any brothers have to leave earlier, no problem whatsoever, whichever time, anyone they have got some need, they can leave earlier and they can go, inshallah, there is no problem. So, in this hadith, وَمَنْ يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ أَنْ أَنْقَذَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ. The third part, the person will get the sweetness of iman, who dislikes, who abhors, that he must return to kufr. A person who was a non-Muslim, he became Muslim and he hates now to return to kufr. He has seen it very clearly how evil and bad kufr is. After that, Allah Ta'ala had taken him out from there. How much he hates? كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَيُّلْقَى فِي النَّارِ. That if he is thrown into the fire of Jahannam, how he hates that. Like that he hates to return to kufr again. Yani jis shakhs ko kufr ki taraf lautna is qadar na gawar ho, jaysi ki usko agar aag mein daala jauye, to usse na gawar ho. Us aag mein jana. Aise shakhs ko bhi halawat-e-iman ki ata hogi. That person also who hates kufr to that extent, whether you are first a non-Muslim or not, or even now, that you hate kufr so much, it is like it is being thrown in the fire of Jahannam. Then that will be, that person will also get the sweetness of Iman. And the outward signs of it, that you'll hate everything of kufr like that. Today their lifestyle is almost more than what it is in them, it is in us. If they have got on the cistern, that covering on top, that cloth or something, they've got it, we also must have it. Why? What purpose is it doing there? But we like their lifestyle so much that to that detail we'll also have it there. If they have a carpet, a mat in the bathroom, just in the middle somewhere, we see in a picture, we also will put it. Serving no purpose. All the purpose it will serve is that you'll slip on it, break your back and neck. But they got it, we also must have it. If they got in their bathroom all that small bottles of oils, of shampoos on a shelf which is never used, just decoration, they got it, we must also have it. All work just to clean it all the time, set it right all the time. It's just for show. But they got it, we must also have it. The doyle is on the couch at the back. What purpose they serve? The only thing, job opportunity. That they fall down all the time and you pick it up and put it back all the time. Whole day, all the time. It falls down, you pick up, you put it back again. Everything, it comes in the hadith that how they will go into the lizard's hole, my ummah will follow them just like that. So if we hate kufr, where are we going to all these things here? And today so much their lifestyle that we find fault in Islamic teachings. We justify their sports, we justify their lifestyle, all their things, and that Islam is too hard. And if any Maulana has to say that, this Maulana is too strict, he's too hard, he's too harsh, we can't accept what he say. Because that lifestyle has become, how can a person like that get the sweetness of Iman? A person who is a die-hard for Islam, for sunnats of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he hates this kufr and everything of the kufr, he'll get a taste of the sweetness of Iman. Otherwise, we can just be dreaming that I've got the sweetness of Iman. Where we will get it? When a person, and this is the object of tasawwuf, to bring this into us, the real essence of Islam, and the real value of deen, and the hatred of these things. When a person, Allah blesses him and opens the eyes of his heart, without exaggeration, all the dirty, filthy women of the street, which people think that what they look like, people even call them hurul in wal yazubil. You can see clearly shaitaniyat on them. Their looks and their ways, they have got the evils of the devil in them. Allah will show you that. And then where will you want to look at them? On whom the fire of Jahannam is pouring down. How can they look pretty? And a person who looks at them and releases and looks at them, go and look at your own face in the mirror, you will see the signs of Allah's curses on your face. Those who enjoy and look and devour and enjoy looking at them, you will see Allah's curses on your face also. So this is when a person stays away from all that, then he will get the sweetness of Iman. Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali Mirqat mein is hadith ki sharah ki zail mein farmati, wafi imanun ila qawli sadati sufiya al-hijab ashaddu min al-adhab. Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali speaks, commentates on this hadith, and he says, the great Sufis have said with regard to this, that hijab, to have a veil between you and Allah, your contact with Allah is not there. You are veiled from Allah, that is worse than the adab of Allah Ta'ala. It is worse than Jahannam. Which Athar has said in his poem, that, teri narazgi, dozakh se battar hai. Some words, that your displeasure of Allah is worse than Jahannam. That Allah must be displeased with me. But today that means also nothing to us. We don't even think, is Allah pleased with me? Is Allah not pleased with me? A person should think that Allah is watching me, have that reality. Then think, is Allah pleased with me or not? And then this beautiful dua of the hadith, وَلَكَ الْأُتْبَى حَتَّى تَرْضَى. Oh Allah, I will plead with you all the time till you become pleased with me. Not that you must be pleased with me. And today, how sad, how many of us, because we got a big PlayStation in the house, we got a big TV, we watching Makkah, Medina, which is all haram, and we say, Allah is so happy with me. And for how many wrong things, all the other wrong things, and we feel Allah is happy with me. No, Allah is happy with you when you're in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. If you are in the disobedience of Allah, and you're thinking Allah is happy with you, then you are so misguided. Is juz mein ishara sufi, acha. Is hadith ke juz-e awwal aur juz-e thani mein fazail se tahalli hai. In this hadith, the first and second parts, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ. A person who has got three qualities in him, وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. By these three things he will find the sweetness of iman. The first one was, مَنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا. A person who loves Allah and His Rasul more than anyone and anything else besides Allah Ta'ala. So this in here is tahalli, jewelry. You are being beautified that you have got that. The second, woman ahabba abdan la yuhibbuhu illa lillah. A person who loves somebody and he loves him solely for Allah's pleasure, then that is also tahalli. There is also jewelry, beauty on you, and you'll get the sweetness of iman. And the third one, woman yakrahu an ya'uda fil kufr. A person who hates to return into kufr again, ba'da an anqadhahu Allah minhu, after Allah Ta'ala saved him from kufr, kama yakrahu an yulqa fil nar, as he dislikes to be thrown in the fire of Jahannam. In this third part of this hadith, or is teesre juz mein, razail se takhalli hai. There now the dirt is being refored. All the evil and filth is being... The first two parts were where beauty was being put on. And this is where the dirt was removed. The first two parts where you were being polished and shined. And the third part is where the dirt is being removed. So this is another very important part also, that a person should work on his iman to this extent, that he totally abhors and dislikes the ways of the kufr. Not that he has got a like of anything, their dressing, their lifestyle, their sports, their news, anything of theirs, we should have a dislike for it. What is of necessity, we will do that, but to the limit of necessity. A person is not allowed to wear kurta, for example, to work. So, no problem. He's forced, he wears the shirt, trouser, but he looks for another job all the time. And as soon as he comes away from there, he's back in his kurtas again. That is a sign. But voluntarily, all the time, wearing their clothing, etc., living like them, etc., no, that is not a sign that this person has got the sweetness of iman. Everything of theirs, we take it out. Our homes, simplicity in the home, all these things, sunnats, etc., everything, we try and bring this in. That's a sign that this person has got the sweetness of iman. Otherwise, he's still far from it. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshaAllah. Come. Such a friend. What's your name again? Sharif. Sharif is from Nigeria, studying in Newcastle, mashallah. He spent Ramzan, how many days?
30 days.
30, mashallah. Whole Ramzan he spent with us. So, Ba'at, briefly, is sunnat one. And this is a formality. A person really becomes Ba'at when he has it in his heart that I want to be Ba'at to a certain sheikh. That irada of yours. Murid, that comes from the word arada yuridu. A person who has made an intention. And the doing word of it, ismefail, is murid. So a person who made irada, that I want to make certain person my guide to reach Allah Ta'ala, that person already has become murid. Then this is a formality now. It is just now official that you're becoming ba'at. But the minute a person, anyone who has that. And from there also we can understand, our Shaykh Jazakumullah Khair explains all this in so beautiful detail, that the breaking of Bay'at cannot be done by the Shaykh. It is because the Shaykh didn't make the irada. The irada was made by the murid. So the murid can break his bay'at also. Whenever he wants to, if he wants to, he can break it. When he hasn't got that aqidah, he hasn't got the trust anymore, muhabbat, then he breaks it. And it doesn't have to be official also, on his own. He doesn't have to inform the sheikh either. But then that contact is broken after that. But while it is there, and a person who has got that in his heart, that person is a murid. So, and to become bay'at is sunnah. This is not faraz. What is faraz, which we have to understand, and which is faraz ayn, faraz on every individual, is our islah. This tawadu, like we were speaking about, it is faraz on everyone, not only a person who becomes murid, or a person who comes to khanqa, on every Muslim, it is faraz that he must bring tawadu in him. Ikhlas, sincerity he must have, doing all his amal only for Allah Ta'ala. He must not have pride in him, he must not have hatred, jealousy, malice, greed, all these bimaris, all these illnesses must not be in him. It is his faraz. And that is why a person becomes murid, becomes bay'at, to purify his heart, to reform ourselves spiritually. Many of us, we only become murid as a formality. Eh? And then we don't do anything. Become a murid, then this is what we have to work to acquire these things here. If a person goes to engineering to school and he gains admission there and now he's happy, well, I'm an engineer. No, where are you an engineer? You have to go through so many things. Even if you attend classes regularly, but you're not listening, and you're listening, but your mind is not there, you're not making notes, you're not studying your work, you're not doing assignments, just attending classes also is not going to make you an engineer. How much of devotion is required? Then any field whatsoever, a simple thing, a girl wants to make a roti, and she makes it properly, how lot of attention she'll have to pay. If she pays no attention, she won't be able to make a roti properly. You're a shoemaker. You want to become a shoemaker, you'll have to pay so much attention, then you'll become a shoemaker. So the same way, if we want our Islah, until we don't pay attention and we don't give it importance, we are coming for our course once a week. And after this, a student who goes to class once a week and comes out from there, he doesn't open his books, he doesn't revise his lesson, nothing. Next week I'll just go and sit in class again. How is he going to succeed? A person who will, what we have spoken about, he thinks about it, he makes notes, he listens to it again, refreshes it, brings it within him. Hopefully that person will, something will happen. But just once a week we just come, just for one lesson, and then shut it, close that whole department, lock it properly, with three locks on top, in the middle and the bottom. Next week again we'll open it up again. And some of us, not even every week, now and then when we feel like we have the opportunity, then we come. And when we don't come. How is Islah going to take place? Then it's more just a show. It is just a show. It isn't really the reality. A person who really wants his Islah will be concerned about it all the time. And Allah is not such that this is something so cheap, just lying by the road, you pay no attention and you get it. And neither is it so difficult and hard that you make effort and Allah doesn't give it to you. You make your due effort, Allah will definitely bless you with this treasure. So that is the object that our Islah must be made. And in our times today, when so much of weakness is in us, the things that we have to do, this is like you went to the doctor for consultation and he prescribed some medicine for you. Now that medicine he prescribed, then take the medicine. If we don't, how many of us, we don't take our medicine also? We just go for our consultation and then whatever doctor had prescribed, etc., no medicine, no diet, no nothing. Next consultation, we there again present. Or we miss out few consultations, then we come again. How are we going to benefit? Then so little we have to do. What we have to do in order, everything else will come. One is to keep our appearance Islamic, wherever we are. As I said, if somebody by force cannot be, is not allowed to have Islamic appearance, then as soon as he can, then he comes into his Islamic attire, Islamic appearance. That is one which is very important. The other is to read Quran Sharif daily. At least 2-3 pages for men, for women 4 or 5 pages, so that we can make at least one khatam in the year. So that is the second. The third, to read 100 times La ilaha illallah. This has got tremendous effect on a person. Just these words, they work. These words are such, La ilaha illallah, they have got this kalima kimya. It's a words of alchemy. Alchemy, which scientists believe they can change a stone into gold. That is just a fantasy. There is no reality. But really, this kalima immediately makes a jahannami into a jannati. You just recited those words, and a person who was a jahannami becomes a jannati. A person on whom Allah's curses were, now immediately Allah's rahmat comes on that person. A person who was mabghuz, hated by Allah Ta'ala, immediately becomes mahbub, becomes the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. So this is such a valuable. So 100 times we read this, afzalu zikr, la ilaha. The best of all zikrs is la ilaha. 100 times, Allah. There is no greater name than the name of Allah Ta'ala. So great it is a person who takes Allah's name 100 times. And la ilaha, take it with this in our mind. La ilaha, I'm vacuuming, taking out from my heart all the filth, all the dirt, and I'm throwing it out on the right side. Illallah, I'm putting all the good in my heart. And whichever particular guna we find ourselves in, or we know we've got quite a few gunas, but the major one we want to get rid of, then for a few days, for a time, think that guna I'm taking out of my heart, I'm throwing it away. And I'm putting in my heart the correct thing. Like I'm taking out pride, I'm putting humbleness. I'm taking out looking at other women, I'm putting in my heart purity of my eyes. A person who does it 100 times, we vacuum our carpets, Electrolux, Sunbeam, whatever, vacuum cleaner. What the vacuum cleaner of La ilaha illallah, 100 times you vacuuming your heart. How can't it? But we do it properly, then see how it will clean the heart. 100 times Allah. With this in mind, that Allah, I love you. Allah, I want you. Allah, I need you. Allah, come into my heart. How won't Allah oblige? Allah wants to himself. He has offered that he wants to come in our heart. Now you're inviting him, he won't come. But do it with sincerity. Do it with feeling. With a desire. And Allah will come in the heart. After the first La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and about every 10 times. And then after the first Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu, or any other words of Allah's greatness, Ta'ala Sha'nu, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, any words of Allah. And then keep contact. That once a month we can come to the majlis, very good. And if not, then make a phone call, send an email, so keep some contact. Then a person will progress in this path, inshallah.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: إن الذين يبايعونك إنما يبايعون الله، يد الله فوق أيديهم، فمن نكث فإنما ينكث على نفسه، ومن أوفى بما عاهد عليه الله فسيؤتيه أجرا عظيما. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء على دين خليله، فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: المرء مع من أحب. Repeat, O Allah, I make tawbah from kufr, from shirk, from nifaq, hypocrisy, from bid'at, innovations, from all sins, major and minor, particularly the sin
of the love of dunya and being unmindful of akhirah, and from the sin of following my whims and desires and being unmindful of the commandments of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu and the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and from the sin of pride. O Allah, I promise to the best of my ability to perform my 5 times namaz with jamaat in the masjid according to sunnah, to fast during the month of Ramadan, if zakat becomes compulsory, to discharge the same, if hajj becomes compulsory, to perform hajj, to be always conscious of my islah and reformation. O Allah, I enter in the silsila, the chain of the Chishtiyah, and the silsila of the Naqshbandiyah, and the silsila of the Qadiriyah, and the silsila of the Suharwardiyah. O Allah, by the barakat of all the buzurgs of all 4 silsilas, accept my tawbah and my bayat. O Allah, as long as I live, grant me an Islamic imani life. Just before maut, grant me tawbatan nasuha. Grant my maut on imani kamil, on kalima'i shahadat, with afiyat, izzat, rahat, and salamati. Gather me tomorrow on the day of qiyamah and forever thereafter in jannat with all the righteous and pious. Inshallah. So do that what have to be done, inshallah, in progress. Any other thing?
Inshallah, for the Islahi Jalsa, tomorrow night, the Azharul brothers, humbly requested, after the Maghrib Salah, inshallah, in the Jamaat room, there will be a mashwara taking place. So we humbly request the brothers to participate and give their rice and whatever assistance they can render us. Jazakallah.
Only Azad, nobody else can come.
Any other brothers from the other areas are also free to come also. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وعورة وذنب وخطيئة. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله.